Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Turn to your neighbor and say, God wants you. He wants you. I want you to open your Bibles this morning to 2 Samuel chapter 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5. We're going to wrap up our message that we began last week on breaking through to the best as we study the whole topic of destiny, that God has a destiny for each of us. We saw last week and how David wrote in the Psalms that before he was born, when he was formed in his mother's womb, God knew him. And that God had his days ordained, that God thinks many precious thoughts. And we've talked about how God has a plan and a destiny and a purpose for each of us. We're not just here by chance. God doesn't want us to go through our days living by chance, but God wants you and I to be his agents each and every day. I shared with my kids, I said, just as God used you on this missions trip every day, now that you're back, that doesn't stop. Because everywhere you go, God wants to use you. He wants to use you at work, wants to use you at Walmart, wants to use you at the gas station, use you in your neighborhood, use you in the church. Everywhere you go, God has a destiny. We're salt, we're light, we're ambassadors of Christ. We have power to be witnesses. We are ministers of the new covenant. We have been gifted, and each one of us are to use that gift and minister it to each other. God sees you as a person of destiny. Do you see yourself as a person of destiny? Or do you just get up in the morning, I got this to do, that to do, and I go on my way, not really taking thought about the Holy Spirit of God. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit of God lives in you, and he wants to partner with you and empower you to touch someone with the love of God that day. They may be saved or unsaved, and that is a sense of destiny God wants us to gain each and every day. We talked last week about there's five levels of living. The first level of living is being away from God. That's where Satan wants everyone to be, that you are not in relationship with God, you're away from God. But if he can't get you to be out of step with God, then he wants you to fall into one of these other categories. The one he prefers is low-life living, where you've made a profession of faith as Jesus is your Savior, but you really haven't journeyed any farther in your relationship with God. There's really little communion, little presence of God, little of his direction in your life, and he's just kind of out there as a second thought. The next level of living is a level of mediocrity where I'm half into God and I'm half out of God. I pray when I feel like it or when I'm in crisis. I go to church when I feel like it or when I need something. And it's just kind of a lackadaisical, apathetic faith that God fits into my schedule when it works. The next kind of living is the good life, where we really love God, we're committed to God, we pray regularly, we read regularly, we give, we may be involved in ministry and stuff, but we go through each day just kind of caught up in our own agenda. We don't see ourselves as being this agent that wherever I go, wherever I walk, God wants me to have spiritual antenna to be aware that, oh, I need to stop and minister to Sandra here and say something nice. I need to call Fred on the phone. I need to write someone a note. Wherever I'm at, it's just walking with this sense of purpose that, God, it's you and me. What do you want me to do? I'm open to him opening a door. And I think that is something that it is so easy. I know for myself, it is so easy to get caught up in life that I don't realize that Jesus wants me to be a giver of his life to those around me. Living with destiny. That is the best. That's the fifth level. Satan wants to keep every believer out of there. Living the best, living with a sense of purpose and destiny. Last week, as we talked about destiny, we studied 1 Samuel 17. It's a story of David and Goliath, one of my favorite stories. And at the time when it happened, he was a shepherd boy. He was fighting the mighty Goliath. And when we looked and we saw that even as a youth, David had a sense of destiny, because after Goliath was dead, after he cut his head off, after they chased the Philistines out of the land of Judah, David took the head of Goliath and he went to the city of Jerusalem, and he took it to Jerusalem. And what's interesting about that is at the time, Israel did not possess Jerusalem. The Jebusites did. They were pagans. And David had a sense that this town of Jerusalem is important to God. It was nothing in David's day, but it would be the place where the temple of God would be for 1,000 years. A place prophesied the Messiah would ride in on a donkey. The place where Jesus would die, where he would be buried, where he would raise again, where the church would be birthed, where the Holy Spirit would be poured out, where the gospel would be launched to the ends of the earth. It's the city Jesus is going to come and return and rule and reign from. Jerusalem had spiritual significance, and the Holy Spirit, David as a teenager, was in step with God, and he knew that. He knew that this city needed to be part of God's kingdom, and right now it wasn't. And he takes the head of Goliath, and I love this. And he said, basically what he's saying is, this is what happens to people that are in the wrong place. This is what happens to people that come into God's land and say that this is God, that this is their territory, and I'm coming for you next. What's interesting is he didn't come back and take Jerusalem until almost 20 years later. But David kept this sense of destiny in his life. And last week we looked at the first point of how do we break into the best, how do we become people of destiny, and it's there in your notes. The first thing is develop a worshipful walk with God. David was a man after God's own heart. God chose David not because of his ability, but because of his availability and his willingness, how he just loved God. And we talked about destiny is not about what you do, it's about relationship. God cares more about your walk with Him than about anything you do for Him. And that your love relationship with God is priority. And when we walk in this sense of love, of being with the Spirit, of worshiping God at all times, that begins to open the door of destiny in our life. Let's take a look now. We're going to look at number 2 in just a moment, but let's look at 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 1. This is that time period about 20 years later, and verses 1 through 5 kind of sum up what happened to David. It says, "Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and spoke, saying, 'Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also in time past, when Saul was king over us, you were one who led Israel out. You brought them in. The Lord said to you, "You shall be shepherd my people is you shall shepherd my people Israel and be ruler over all of them." Now, verse 3, it says, "The elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David, they made a covenant to him at Hebron, and they anointed him over Israel." David was 30 years old when he began to reign. He reigned 40 years. Now, this verse 5 is interesting. In Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. In Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years over all Israel. You have to realize that when Saul died, not the entire nation embraced David as king. Just Judah and Benjamin. And they declared David as their king, and David reigned. That's why in verse 5 it says, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. After that time period, the other 10 tribes realized David is God's anointed, and then they came to him in verses 1 through 3. They anointed him and says, "We want you to be king over all of us." It is now at this point when David has all of the nation united that he goes to fight the Jebusites in Jerusalem. And this is what verse 6 says. "The king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David, saying, 'You shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you,' thinking David cannot come in here. Nevertheless, David took the stronghold of Zion," that is the city of David. If we're going to break through to the best, we need to have this worshipful walk with God. And in your notes, the second thing we need is we need to be faithful. We need to be faithful every day in everyday life. The big things and the little things. There's a statement in your notes that says, destiny is not a destination, it is a process. So many times, we look for a big event to take place. And you hear people say, if we just had revival, and we think of it as an event. But friends, your destiny is not accomplished in a day. It's accomplished through your daily decisions. Your thoughts, your attitudes, your actions, the moment-by-moment decisions, who you are in the little things determines what happens in the big things in your destiny. That's why Jesus said, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. He who is not faithful in the least is not faithful in much. And God is looking at, how do I live my life in the little things? We're going to watch the movie Courageous on Friday. And I'm going to give away just a little part of it because it fits right in. If you've seen the movie, there's a gentle name. His name is Javier. And he gets a job at this one plant. And one day after working a few months, he's brought in into the manager's office, the owner's office. And he says, I need someone over shipping in my warehouse. And I'd like to give you the job. You've been working really hard. But I've got a shipment coming in. And I need you to take a few packages off and not declare them on the manifest. And I need you to do that for me because I need to know I can have someone that I can trust and rely on to do what I need him to do. Would you do that? And Javier is going, well, I need to think about it. He's wrestling. He knows, as a Christian, I can't lie. I can't do this. And yet he just got this job. He was had no job before this. He was afraid of not providing for his family. And he goes in the next day and he tells the owner, he says, I'm sorry, I can't do this because it's dishonest. The boss sits back and he said, we have been looking for a person like you with your integrity, a person who would not fudge just to get ahead. He says, because I need someone I can completely trust. You are like the sixth person we have made this offer to. You are the first one who's passed the test. Friends, when you are faithful in little things, you position yourself to be in the place of God's destiny. And David had faithfulness in his life. I want us to look at his life, just a couple of examples. David was first faithful in responsibility. He was faithful in responsibility. In 1 Samuel 17, it's the story of David and Goliath we looked at last week. David has been anointed king by this time. In the previous chapter, chapter 16, he's anointed king. Now, what kind of things do you think a king would be doing? Sitting on a throne, ruling, reigning, giving orders. What's David doing? He's receiving orders. He is an errand boy and a shepherd. In fact, when you look at verse 17 of chapter 17, Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves. Run to your brothers at the camp. Verse 20, David rose early in the morning and, underline this, left the sheep with the keeper and took the things and went as Jesse commanded. David was supposed to take care of the sheep. His father sent him on an errand, and David was responsible to get that taken care of. It seemed like a little thing, but it is included in Scripture for a reason because God is revealing to us the character of David. What's interesting, you read further in the chapter, verse 28, David's big brother, the number one brother, who thought he was going to be king and was passed over by Samuel. God says, this isn't the guy. He tries to humiliate David when he brings the grilled cheese sandwiches out to him, okay? I mean, how would you like to take grilled cheese sandwiches to your six big brothers and more? I mean, doesn't that work for a king? Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. And you realize taking care of the sheep was the job given to the person the lowest on the totem pole? Taking care of the sheep was not an exalted position. You might equate that with kind of like maybe cleaning the toilets or Cinderella cleaning out the chimney, you know, something like that. It was not a high job, and yet David is faithful in these little things. And Eliab tries to make David look small, and this is what he said. He said, who, did you just leave those sheep all alone? out here, you cocky, proud person. And he's just trying to demean him. David was faithful in the small stuff. Are you faithful in little things? At work? At home? Faithful in the little things of doing your income tax, claiming and declaring all that you should declare and claim. Not claiming anything more, not declaring less. I mean, this little thing mentality is in every area of our lives, friends. It's for young people when your parents ask you to do chores. Are you faithful in the little things? Or it's like, they're not going to know if I didn't do this part of cleaning the bathroom or do this part of cleaning my room or whatever it was, or this part of my homework. It's good enough. When you are faithful and a person of excellence in little things, God realizes I can trust you in big things. How about at work? Am I faithful in the little things at work? David has this humble attitude. He did not think of himself too highly. Here's something for you. Before you rule, you first need to know how to take rules. Before you lead, you first need to know how to follow. If you find a leader who is a dictator and a tyrant, I can guarantee you that as a follower, they were not a follower. They rebelled. They were insubmissive. They thought, I know better. I don't have to listen to my boss. If you're looking at promoting someone, look at their attitude. Are they submissive? Can they follow leadership? Because if they can't, you don't want them leading over you. I've told my daughters and my son, I says, when you're looking for a spouse, how well do they respect their parents, their teachers, and their coaches? Because if they don't respect authority, they won't respect your authority. And girls, if they're leading you, he's going to be a tyrant. This area of just being humble and submissive is so key. David was faithful in his responsibilities. David was also faithful in developing his abilities. When you look at 1 Samuel 17 and verse 34, David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. When it arose against me, I caught it by the beard. I struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Wow, I don't know how many of you would like to fight a lion and a bear without a shotgun or a rifle, okay? David did. I don't know, maybe he took the slingshot against him. And when they knocked him out, he delivered him out, and he came against him, and he killed him. David was becoming a man of war before he ever went to war. You know, I don't know about you, but if I don't have a lot of weapons and I see a lion go from one of the sheep, I'm kind of tempted to say, better the sheep than me. You know, it's just one lamb for crying out loud. Look at all the rest we have. David was faithful in the little things. This is my responsibility. I'm not letting one get lost. And because he developed his abilities, when the time came, and he's already anointed as king, and there's a giant who has got thousands of grown men shaking in their boots, a teenager says, I'll do it. I've killed the lion. I've killed the bear. God has been preparing me for this moment of destiny. And it all happened because he was faithful in the small stuff. Friends, you want to be a person of destiny? Be faithful in what God has given you today, and everything else will take care of itself. Be faithful, be honest, be true, submissive, responsible, become the best you can be. And God will do great things through you. That's why God chose David. He was faithful. Let's go on to the third point. And the third way to break through the best and become a person of destiny is to declare your destiny. Declare your destiny. We saw this last week, 1 Samuel 17:54. As a teenager, David takes the head of Goliath and he brings it to Jerusalem. He was saying, I am coming for you. And David knew, he declared it, and he kept declaring it through his life. And we need to be people that declare the promises of God in our life. What are the words God has spoken to you about overcoming sin, about defeating discouragement and depression, about purpose, about dealing with worry and everyday things. We need to be people that are declaring the promises of God in our life, because what you think and what you say really has an impact on what you do. I have permission to share this illustration. This past week, my youngest, Elise, she's six. I got done with my devotions. I finished my devotions. And I says, why don't you clean your room? She had to come with me to the office for the day because Rebecca was going to be gone. I says, you've got an hour. Why don't you clean your room while I shower and get ready and have breakfast and everything? She says, I can't. There's too much here. And it was a little, I've seen it worse, okay. But she had some friends over, and we went somewhere. It was a late night, so she never had time to pick up her room. And it was in bad shape. I says, well, tell you what, why don't you just try to do this side of the bed while I get ready today, okay? All right, I'll do that. So I go in the shower, and I come out and dry off, and she has the one side of her bed and the other side done. I says, well, why don't you try to do the other side while I shave and stuff and get breakfast? And she finished that, and I went and had breakfast, and before I know it, she's got her rug rolled up, and she's taken outside and shaking her rug, and she brings it back in, and then she goes to the closet, and she gets out the vacuum cleaner, and she goes to the room, and she vacuums her room, and I was like, Elise, do you realize you cleaned and vacuumed and everything in 50 minutes? You got everything done and more than what I said to do. And she says, you know, when you came back and I saw I could do it, I said to myself, I can get my whole room clean. And a few minutes before, she said, I can't. You see, what you declare determines your course of action. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Now, there is a balance here. I'm not saying if you just declare, I'm a millionaire, I have a new Cadillac, I have a 7,000 square foot home. I'm not saying you can create your own reality, but you can, in some senses, create a disposition in you that either enables you or discourages you from doing and becoming the person God wants you to be. And that's why it is so vital. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You see, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. My daughter was saying, I can't do it. Her words were a reflection of what she felt. But later, there was a shift. She changed her thinking. She declared something else, and that declaration became a reality. And if we are going to be people of destiny, we need to change our thinking, to have our thinking line up with what the Word of God says. We are the head and not the tail. That we are dead to sin, and no sin, no pornography, no lust, no anger, no bitterness has a grip on us. You can walk in love. You can walk in forgiveness. The Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Don't be beaten down, for the Lord your God is with you. Do not worry about anything. Seek first the kingdom of God. Everything's added to you. His is the blessing, the glory, the honor, the victory, and the majesty. Friends, when you begin to declare the Word of God, God prepares you for destiny. And David was declaring destiny. Just as that day when he fought Goliath, he went and he picked up 5 stones that had been polished in the river, and he put them in his bag and kept them nearby so when the enemy came, he could attack him. We need to take pieces of the Word of God, pieces of the rock, let the river of the Spirit flow over them and polish them so they feel good to us. And we have them right here. So when the devil comes to us, boom, I throw that rock. Joshua 1:9, I throw that rock. I am the head and not the tail. I am not a failure. Friends, declaring the Word in accordance with your destiny brings us to living life at the best level God has for us. Let's go on to the fourth and final point. Number 4, don't let obstacles dim your vision. Don't let obstacles dim your vision. David was a teen when he defeated Goliath and he made his declarations. He's now 37 years old. Bible scholars think it had probably been around 20 years since he first held the head of the Jebusites, or of Goliath in front of the Jebusites. And David had been told by them, I want you to take a look in verse 6. It says, the king and his men went to Jerusalem against the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land, who spoke to David saying, you shall not come in here, but the blind and the lame will repel you. What is interesting about this verse is that this verse is referring to idols. You see, the Jebusites had built idols, their gods, in the walls of Jerusalem, all around the city, and they felt that their demonic gods in the walls acted as a force field that kept anyone from invading them. And Israel had tried on two separate occasions. In Joshua 15:63, the tribe of Judah tried to defeat the Jebusites and take Jerusalem when they entered the promised land for the first time. And then a few hundred years later, the tribe of Benjamin in the period of Judges, in Judges chapter 1, verse 21, the tribe of Benjamin could not drive out the Jebusites. And so when David says, I'm coming for you, they're saying, oh yeah? Well, you guys have came two times before, and you haven't done it. And David wrote this about idols. David says in Psalm 31:6, I have hated those who regard useless idols. Psalm 115:5-7, it says about idols, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. Noses they have, but don't smell. They have hands, but don't handle. They have feet, but they don't walk. And when the Jebusites are saying, the blind and the lame will defeat you, what they're saying, they're mocking David about these useless idols, and they're saying that these blind and lame idols that you call are going to keep you out. Friends, I guarantee when you begin to go for the destiny of God, the enemy is going to mock you and tell you you can't do it. It'll happen. Why? Because Satan doesn't want you living at the best. He'll settle for the good life or the mediocre or the low life. And there's even sometimes believers, things get so bad, they lose hope that they walk away from God. Friends, Satan doesn't want you to live in the best. And he will discourage you. You will have trouble. Lots of trouble, severe trouble, when you say, I'm going for the best. David's life? Wow. See if you want to sign up for this. Saul tried to kill David three times, running him through with a spear. David had to flee for his life out of Jerusalem, leaving his family and his friends. He went and lived in the wilderness as a fugitive. Saul took an army and hunted him like a wild animal for several years. Bible scholars think it could have been a decade or more. Saul lied about David and called him a rebel. And then David finally, near the end of this time, he takes his army, 600 men, and joined him. So David takes his army of 600 men, and he goes, get this, he goes back to one of the Philistine lords, one of the Philistine leaders, and he says, hey, can I work for you? And since David is living in the land of the Philistines, Saul stops chasing him. And David goes out and conducts raids on other lands. And he comes back and he says, yeah, I attacked Judah today. I attacked God's people. So the Philistine lord felt David was his. And so this is, David is, in the eyes of Israel, I want you to think about this. He's a traitor. He's fighting for the Philistines. What is the political career of a military commander in America who would go and work for the Taliban? You think he's going to be elected president? Friends, that's David's situation. He is working for the enemy. Does he have any hope? I wonder how many times out in the wilderness he said, Lord, I remember back when I was a teenager. I remember that day when I was summoned from the pasture with the sheep. And Samuel poured this flask of oil, and you said that I was going to be king. And here I am. God, this doesn't make sense. In fact, I am further away from it than I've ever been. I am seen as a traitor to my people. Lord, how is this going to work out? Friends, you'll have problems, you'll have doubt, you'll have discouragement, but never let it defeat you. To top it off, in 1 Samuel 29, David and his men go with the Philistine leader, and they are going to go to battle as the Philistines are now ready to go fight Israel once again. There were five main leaders, and the four said, "We don't trust David. He might turn on us and fight. He killed Goliath." So David is sent home with his 600 men, and as they're approaching their hometown of Ziklag, they see smoke billowing in the distance. They whip their horses into a frenzy to get home as fast as they can. When they arrive, the city is burned. It's been looted. Their wives, their children, their livestock, their possessions are all gone. Everything they have of value is gone. It's burned up or been taken. And in verse 6, it says, David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him. His army, his faithful ones, wanted to kill him. David has no friends. He's lost everything. It says, all the people grieved, every man for his sons and daughters, but here's the key, look at this. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David strengthened himself. When everything was gone, when there was no hope, he encourages himself in the Lord. And he remembers the destiny. He remembers the promises. He remembers that I am the head and not the tail. I'm not a failure. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He has precious thoughts that outnumber the sands of the sea. And David, with God's help, rallies the troops. They fight the Amalekites, and everyone gets back their families. Saul dies in that battle that David didn't go to, which God was looking out for David, so that it wasn't he who was seen as killing Saul. He's appointed king over Judah. The destiny is beginning to happen. 7.5 years later, all of Israel said, "David, you the man. We want you." The destiny is coming. And now, in 2 Samuel, he comes to the city of Jerusalem, and he says, "I'm back!" And he took the city for the glory of God and achieved his destiny. God has a destiny for you. Don't give up on it. I don't know what you're going through. There may be some of you, you've kind of just given up on the destiny God had for you because of things you went through in your life, and you've went to the good life or the mediocre or even the low living. Friends, God loves you, and He cares. And whether it was part of your own faults, your own sin, or whether it was you're a man after His own heart and you're just being attacked, friends, it was those attacks that made David and prepared him to be king. Everything that happens in your life, the good and the bad, are for God's purposes. And He is trying to accomplish and prepare you for the destiny He has. Just start in the little things. God, I'm going to be faithful today. Gideon was just threshing wheat in the wine press when God spoke to him and said, "I want you to deliver the entire nation from the Midianites." Tabitha just made clothes for people and gave food to the poor, not realizing someday she's going to die and be resurrected from the dead and be the greatest evangelist that town had ever seen. John and Peter, they're just going to the daily prayer meeting like they'd done every day. And there's a guy who's crippled and he asked for money. He says, "We don't have anything, but we can pray for you." And boom, shazam, he's up and he's walking. And thousands get saved. You just walk worshipfully, faithfully, declaring the promises, keeping your eyes on the promises and not on the obstacles, and God will show up. And you don't have to be a pastor or evangelist or missionary. You have destiny as a housewife, as a grocery clerk, as a lawyer, a doctor, a businessman, as a salesman. All of us have a destiny, a plan that God says, hey, Neil, I want to use you today. Sandra, I want to use you today. Man, Don, you're my agent today. Walk with me. Partner with me, Luke, Michael, David, Pastor Todd. All of us have a destiny. We're going to sing this song in just a moment. We're going to stand, and I'm going to have people come forward for prayer. Maybe you need someone to pray with you.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us, casperfaith@gmail.com, or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.